All right, welcome everybody on a Monday. Trash Talk with Tony Broski is underway with yours truly. It is great to have you in here on the show this week. Joining me, Eli Bashy and Grant Richards are both here. Not joining us today is Mike Bilica and Jay Horn. We mentioned last week that Mike today is recovering from a wedding as we speak. While Jay, we actually just heard from him. He is in beautiful South Beach, Miami for the Rolling Loud Festival. And he stopped by on the call before we went on to say hello. Good to hear from Jay. We have not heard from Mike yet. But for the gentlemen here with me today, Eli Bashy and Graham Richards, let's get to them. Now let's start with Eli. How are you today, Eli? And how was your 20th birthday over the weekend? Hopefully you survived the storms.
Yeah, I made it out alive. It was rough, man. I mean, what is going on in Michigan?
The weather has just been really bad this entire summer. If Mike was here, he'd go into a whole 20-minute rant about it.
Yeah, we don't need that right now. Oh. It was a pretty good 20th birthday. You know, not the big 21 yet, but, you know, we're getting there.
Year away. You hear that, Grant? One more year.
All things considered.
I'm so excited.
But you had a good birthday, Eli?
For sure, definitely.
That's good. What was the highlight of your weekend, would you say?
As corny as it is, I like when people text me happy birthday. It's kind of like, it feels good to know that this many people care.
Well, we sang for you last week. We were willing to sing happy birthday for you. But yeah, 1 year away, Eli. 1 year away. I cannot wait for the big 21. Hee-hee! Last but not least, Grant Richards. How are you today, Grant? How is your weekend? And as always, how did the sports betting go this past week?
I'm good today. It was a nice weekend of just kind of recovering. I've had a crazy month. So it was nice to just sit back, watch some golf, watch some baseball. Just have a solid, chill weekend. I can't really complain about that. And sports betting, we're up this week, but considering this is the two-part joint week, we're about even. I think we're down like $3, but you know what? We'll take that. We can live with that. I did not get Maverick McNealy to win the 3M Open yesterday, which would have put me up significantly. We're surviving. We're surviving. Tony, how was your sports betting week?
Bounce back complete. It was a winning week for good old Tony D, sports betting wise. We had the bounce back. We ended the losing streak. And we're back in the win column. A lot of the baseball bets were connecting this week. And mostly, I had a winning week thanks to the Tigers. That's right. While the Tigers were red hot and they were one of the hottest teams in baseball, I took advantage of it. Especially in that 4-game series against the Texas Rangers. Every single game, either Tigers money line or a combination of Tigers money line and Tigers by 2. Every single day in it. And we ended the week up because of it. So thank you very much, Detroit Tigers, for helping me win some money this week. And speaking of the Tigers, though, I was planning to spend a little bit of the show today talking about the Tigers because, obviously, like I just mentioned, the Tigers at one point last week were one of the hottest teams in baseball, and they were on absolute fire. 7-game winning streak, 7-0 since the All-Star break. But then the weekend happened. Then they went to Kansas City and got swept by the Royals. So because of that, I'd rather not talk Tigers today outside of the fact that they helped me win some money. So thank you, Tigers. But on that point, Grant said that he watched some baseball this week. Please tell me you watched a little Tigers baseball while they were red hot. Is that true or is that false?
Oh, every time the Tigers have like a 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock game, I throw on the Tigers. Whatever I'm doing, I have the Tigers going on at least in the background.
Hey now.
So that was very fun to just kind of just see a team start to take steps in the right direction or continue taking steps in the right direction. Just bats coming alive, pitching, surprisingly decent. It was fun. That was a fun little stretch. And if I may touch on this weekend, I think that's just kind of like a, hey, we were hot, and you always got to take a heat check. And I think this series was kind of the heat check. And I think it's a bounce back time. Like, I think they just kind of, you can only win so many games in a row before offsetting at some point.
The Tigers haven't had an off day since the All-Star break, I'm pretty sure. Well, since the rain delay, the Friday after the All-Star break, actually, I think. And the Tigers' next off day isn't until next Monday, so they still got a whole week to play without rest. Maybe the boys were a little tired this weekend? I don't know. But going into that series, being one of the hottest teams in baseball, and to get swept by the Royals, not good. Not good. Eli, I'll go back to you. Have you watched any Tigers baseball while they were on that hot streak? Or were you watching USA Basketball lose?
Honestly, I haven't been watching anything since the finals ended.
Oh.
I have caught some Tigers games just on in the background. Haven't really, like,
hey,
paid attention, paid attention. But, you know, the funny thing is, the last game I watched was when their streak broke. So I was like, you know what, maybe I'm bad luck. I'll leave the Tigers to do whatever they have to do. I won't interfere.
Apparently Eli's done for the year. Oh, boy. But have you been watching Team USA, though?
No. I'm not waking up at 8 a.m. to watch basketball. But they stink. And Jeremy's not even playing. I'm only going to watch for Jeremy, and if he's not going to play, I'm not watching.
I was about to say, the reason they're probably losing is because they're not playing their best player.
Listen, like, there's no LeBron on the team. There's no Chris Paul on the team. You know, all those OGs, they're not on the team.
Where's Darren Williams?
Darren Williams not on the
team.
Oh, boy.
I
watched in 2008, 2012 for my boy Darren Williams. Nobody's left. The team is bad. Like, we just got to face it. Yeah, individually, they're better than their competition, of course. But they have no chemistry with each other.
None.
And they play terribly as a team.
Yeah, there's no chemistry. And I think the competition has gotten better across the world, too.
Definitely. And our players are not used to being officiated so little, I guess. Like, they're not getting these little ticky-tack calls they get in the NBA. And I think that's really getting in their heads. And they're, like, arguing with officiating. And, like, none of the other countries really ever argue about the calls unless it's, like, the coach.
Yeah.
But our players are noticeably arguing a lot more. And it's like, come on, guys. You guys have 50-year-old Luis Scola on the other team. You guys can't win. Like, what's going on?
Speaking of coaching, I did see a report over the weekend, and I have no idea how accurate this is or isn't, and I don't know if you saw this or not, Eli, but apparently some of the players on Team USA are frustrated because Pop is running the Spurs offense. I don't know if you saw that. Did you see that?
Yeah, and he's playing Keldon Johnson over Jeremy Grant. Like, what are we doing here, man?
Well, that is his player. I'm not surprised by
that.
I
don't care that that's his player. That is just... Oh, you're begging to lose. You're just begging to lose. Like, the way they constructed that roster and the way Pop has been coaching. I mean, Pop did this in, what, like 2019? They lost in FIBA?
Oh, you're asking the wrong person. I have no idea.
This is not the first time Pop has lost with Team USA. Pop had them in 2019, and they lost. So, like, Pop is kind of suspect, man. I can't lie. I might be on the Pop's sus train.
Uh-oh.
I might.
I kind of want to join that train because I feel like having that level of talent and losing to significantly lesser talent, I think we can all agree on that. There has to be something going on with coaching. I mean, if you have all this talent and you can't beat, what, France? Like, it can't just be on the players. Like, they know how to play basketball better than France's team, better than Argentina's team, better than any other team, and losing is just shocking. This is the one thing we're supposed to be just blowing teams out of the water in, and we're not only not doing that, we're losing.
the players, since their first exhibition loss, have been talking about how there's really no chemistry right now. I do think a majority of the Team USA struggles are on chemistry. I do think that is real. I think chemistry really does matter, and that might be one of the biggest reasons why Team USA is struggling. But yeah, it's interesting for sure. We're now at a point where, Eli, do you think they're going to run away with this gold medal?
No chance. I'm out. They're not getting gold.
Oh, you don't even think they're going to win gold?
They're not getting gold. They might get silver or bronze.
Oh,
they
boy.
They stink, Tony. Luka just dropped 48 yesterday.
I did see Argentina that. Yeah.
That was insane. And, like, I mean, France, when they played France, Evan Fournier was the best player on the court. That is embarrassing, man. That's just embarrassing. There's no way they're beating a team like Spain or especially Australia. I think Australia got the best chance to win.
Who's on Australians' team? Any big-name players?
Yeah, they get, well, you know, take it with a grain of salt, big name. But, like, Patty Mills, Matthew Dellavedova,
oh, geez.
Joe Ingles.
Joe
Ingles.
Aaron
Baines, maybe.
Oh.
Matisse Thybulle.
Oh.
Yeah, they're pretty
I
nice.
Didn't realize he was Australian.
Yeah, and I then like they would have had Ben Simmons, but he decided to actually get in the gym for a summer and work on his game.
So oh, that's good. Get ready for the new season with Minnesota or Cleveland. Oh. Oh, goodness. So you don't think they win gold. Grant, what's your gut telling you?
My gut tells me to trust, like, again, back to the talent of the players USA has.
That's what I'm thinking.
But, I mean, I feel like at some point it clicks, but we're past exhibitions. We're into the games that actually matter now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still not winning. We're still not really setting forth one player to be our lead guy. And if we don't really figure that out, if it just becomes like a – it feels like everybody on the USA team is taking what they do in the NBA, being like, give me the ball. I kind of – like, I want to take over. And no one's really – if everyone's trying to take over, nobody's taking over.
Exactly. And they're all trying to get a bucket.
Exactly. And it's not trying to win. It's trying to get stats. And if it continues like this, which I don't see any reason it doesn't, because I don't think the care is there for a gold medal. I think a lot of these players on the USA team want a ring over a gold medal, while all these other players from other countries are playing actually for the gold. Because they might not see a ring in their future. While we have all these superstars that have been so accustomed to ring chasing, where it's like, dude, I don't really care about this. This is a gold medal. Who cares? I can't put that on my finger. And I don't know. I think the mindset's way off right now, and I don't see a gold medal happening from this team right now.
It'll be interesting for sure. Eli, what team is Luka on?
Slovenia.
Oh, who's He's on Spain? You mentioned Spain.
Spain has the Gasol brothers.
Oh, jeez.
They have Rudy Fernandez. They have who else is on Spain? They got a couple NBA. They got the Hernan Gomez's.
Oh, jeez.
They're pretty good. They're always good though.
USA still has the most talent.
Oh, they got Ricky. Spain got Ricky Rubio too. Ricky Rubio in international play is different. Let me tell you that. Like Ricky Rubio could give it to any point guard on USA's roster and just destroy them right now.
Well, what happens in the NBA though?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They
no,
can't
no, no. I'm asking why is it so different?
I can't explain it. It's just like how Evan Fournier was the best player on the court yesterday. Even Damian Lillard said himself, these guys
they
play
fight
so
for the country.
Different.
Yeah,
they play so different in the NBA than mm-hmm. they do here.
Mm-hmm. Is Ricky Rubio the best Olympian point guard to ever step on a basketball court?
No.
Who is
what,
that?
Crazy?
Give
oh
it to me.
Gosh.
Who is that?
Aaron Williams. Shout out to D. Will. Wherever you are in the world right now. I know you're not on a basketball court, though.
Well, is Tony Parker with France, by the way, in any capacity?
Nah, not anymore. No.
Ah, jeez. What do you mean not anymore? Where was he?
What do you mean?
Was he on the coaching staff?
No, he's retired. He
played. Well, I'm aware he played. I didn't know if he was on the coaching staff.
Manu used to be on Argentina as well. Manu is no longer a player, sadly. But they do have Facundo Campazzo.
Oh, boy. Is that the guy on the Nuggets?
Yes. All-rookie second team, Facundo Campazzo.
That's Eli and Mike's boy. So should we just spend the rest of the show talking about him?
Facundo? Yeah. I could spend five shows talking about Facundo Campazzo.
Well, we'll save that for another day. Maybe the Blazing Wings episode. We do have to do that soon, because before we get into the show today, obviously this week we'll... I'll get into this in a second here, but we're going to... It's going to be a lot of draft talk. We'll talk NHL draft and NBA draft. Next week, NBA draft recap, NBA free agency preview, and if the Tigers do something at the trade deadline, we'll talk about that as well. But 2 weeks from now, Grant, I'm especially talking to you. 2 weeks from now, not this Monday, but the following Monday. Grant, I'm going to come close to the mic for this one. It's football time.
Yeah! I can hear the Fox music already playing in the back of my head. I got chills when you said it's football time. I'm like, okay, so stupid question real quick in regards
There's
to this.
There's no such thing as stupid questions on this show. Everything is stupid that we do.
We just talked about Facundo Campazzo for like 2 minutes. So there's nothing to stupid.
All right. Good point. The NBA season ended later than usual, right?
Yeah, because of COVID. It was still a pushback season.
Okay, because I was going to say, normally there's this, like, 2-3 month period of just strictly baseball.
Yeah.
And not that I don't love watching baseball as much as the next guy, but it seems like football season's right here. I'm loving this, like, sure, baseball gets its month, but that, like,
it's month.
Late June to early August is just kind of a stretch.
Mm.
And so I'm glad things were organized the way they were.
It's obviously not ideal because of COVID, but I will say, as selfish as it might be to say, maybe the best thing with the messed up sports schedule is that we've had everything together right on top of each other. You know, as Grant mentioned, usually around this time of the year, late July, there's no basketball because free agency would have been over, the draft would have been over. And the same thing with hockey. Free agency and the draft would have been over by now. It would just be a very quiet period right now in a normal year. But with everything messed up because of COVID, we've got the draft this week in the NBA. We had the NHL draft last week. We've got NBA and NHL free agency coming up. NFL training camps start this week. Everything is just on top of each other right now. Not to mention, obviously, Major League Baseball is on too. Yeah, it's a good time to be a sports fan right now, and I am looking forward to getting back to the normal schedule, but no, this is fun. And Grant, are you as hyped as I am to start talking football again with training camp starting this week?
I am way too excited. I've been writing articles all off season, and now I finally have new content to talk about. It's amazing. I'm so excited.
I can't wait to talk about who's going to be worse, the Lions or the Raiders.
Ooh. Whoa. All right.
I'm joking. I'm not joking about this, though. The Raiders low-key might be the worst team in that division, but we'll save that for a later date.
Yeah, Drew Locke is going to lead the Broncos better than the Raiders. All right. We can talk about it later.
Well, we'll save that discussion for another day. But nonetheless, boys, let's get the show rolling today. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, all draft talk in this week's episode. Later in the program, we will talk about the NBA draft one more time before the real thing on Thursday night. But to start, let's begin with the NHL draft. Yes, some NHL draft and Red Wings talk to open the show today. The 2021 NHL draft was this past weekend, so I want to take the first few minutes of today's show to discuss what the Red Wings did. Grant, is there something you'd like to say?
I just wanted to quickly bring up the Seattle Kraken not taking Stetcher was probably one of the greatest feelings in the world.
Expansion draft talk from Grant. I love it. Yeah, I'm surprised they did not take Troy Stetcher. They decided to go young with Dennis Cholowski. Which I'm fine with. I mean, I would have liked to keep Cholo because of how young he is, but wasn't a Steve Eisman pick. He really didn't do much with us anyway, so fresh start, whatever. it's whatever. We get to keep Troy Stetcher, who was probably our best defenseman last year, so yeah. It's Seattle, by the way. Oh my. I do not see a Vegas Golden Knights in their future. They might actually go the normal expansion team route and be really bad. They passed out some good talent. Tarasenko from the Blues, Carey Price from Montreal. They passed on some really good talent, and they might be bad, but not my concern. Anywho, NHL draft or Red Wings talk. I want to take the first few minutes of the show to discuss what the Red Wings did, because it was a big draft for the Red Wings, so let's talk about what happened. Now, I will note that I'm not going to go in depth with every Red Wings pick like I did for the NFL draft and the Lions a few months ago. However, I do really want to focus on the first three picks, and I will mention a little something with the rest of the picks too. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Sixth overall, the Wings threw a bit of a curveball here, and they went with big Swedish defenseman Simon Edvinsson. I say they threw a bit of a curveball because myself and a lot of other people expected possibly left winger William Ekland with this pick, but the Red Wings went with defense and they went with Simon Edvinsson. Let me tell you what, the Red Wings love those players from Frölunda. They absolutely love those Frölunda players. And with Edvinsson, 6'5", 207 pounds, big kid. NHL.com had him ranked as the second European skater in this entire class. And though he might not be a big offensive threat yet, Edvinsson does a lot of the little things right. He's a good skater, has some nice skill with the puck, and overall, just a big defenseman who will look great in a few years with Mo Sider. And the thing I really like with this pick is that you can see what Steve Eisman is doing here. He wants to build a big defensive core led by Sider and Edvinsson. And I'm all here for it. So because of that, I liked the sixth overall pick selection of Simon Edvinsson. Then, this is where things got fun. The Wings trade up to number 15 with the Dallas Stars to grab the goalie of the future in Sebastian Kosa from the WHL's Edmonton Oil Kings. Grant, do you like that name, the Edmonton Oil Kings?
I love the name. I think it's cooler than the Oilers. Like, switch that up. Make the minor league team be the Oilers and bring out the Oil Kings, man.
I don't know if they're actually affiliated with Edmonton. I could be wrong. I have no idea. I'm not a WHL expert, but yeah, Edmonton Oil Kings. I like the name, and I love Sebastian Kosa. I love that he's in the wind wheel. I loved this pick. Kosa and Jesper Wallstedt were considered far and away the top two goalies in this class, and I have read some scouting reports that have said when Kosa develops, he will be the better goalie than Jesper Wallstedt, who many had above Sebastian Kosa. But there's a lot to like with Kosa. 6'6", athletic, and his WHL numbers speak for themselves. In 2020-2021, a win-loss record of 17-1-1, a save percentage of .941, and a goals against average of 1.57. In 2019-2020, good numbers as well. Win-loss record of 21-6-3, save percentage of .921, and it goes against average of 2.23. If you're not a hockey expert and you don't know what stats I just said, just believe me when I say this. They are really good numbers. They are really, really good numbers. And Kosa is only 18. That's the thing. He's only 18 years old, but he's already such a beast. You might have been confused at the selection because the Red Wings, a day before the draft, traded for and signed goalie Alex Nedeljkovic from the Carolina Hurricanes. They traded Jonathan Bernier in a third to get Nedeljkovic, which was another move I loved, by the way. However, again, you might be questioning, why would the Red Wings do this? Why would they trade for a 25-year-old and sign him and then draft an 18-year-old goalie? Well, that's the thing. Steve Eisman did the same exact thing in Tampa Bay. He had Ben Bishop, but that did not stop him from drafting a young goalie prospect that hockey fans might know his name, Andre Vasilevskiy. Ben Bishop did not stop Steve Yzerman from getting Andre Vasilevskiy. Goalies take a while to develop, maybe 3 to 5 years usually. So while Vasilevskiy developed, Ben Bishop played. When Vasilevskiy was ready, Ben Bishop was gone, and it was Vasilevskiy's time. Now look at Vasilevskiy and the Lightning, back-to-back Stanley Cup champs. Obviously, that's the hope for us. Nedeljkovic, who is only 25, this upcoming season, he's going to split time with Thomas Greiss, and then he will probably start full-time after this season until Kosa is ready. When Kosa is ready, it's going to be his time. Like I said, Steve Yzerman literally did the same thing in Tampa Bay, which is why I absolutely love these goalie moves. And I also want to mention this. One of the biggest issues for the Red Wings going forward was that we really didn't have a long-term answer at goaltender. How unreal was this from Steve Yzerman? He answered that goalie question long-term in 2 days. Unreal. Nedeljkovic, 25. Kosa, 18. Just like that, we went from having no long-term answers at goalie to having 2 long-term answers and a short-term answer too. Unreal. I loved what the Red Wings did in the first round. Day 2, I'll only really talk in depth about the number 36 pick, and then I'll go into a little bit with everyone else. So number 36, the Red Wings traded up for defenseman, get ready for this name, defenseman Shai Buyum. Another big defenseman, 6'3", 214 pounds. He's got some offensive potential to him. 26 points, 4 goals and 22 assists in 50 games in 2020-2021 in the USHL. And it goes back to what I said overall about Steve Yzerman wanting to build a big defensive core. I absolutely love it. So I like the pick at 36. As for the other picks, I can quickly mention a little something with each of them. Let's start at number 70, left winger Carter Mazur. 20 goals, 24 assists, and 44 points in 47 games in the USHL in 2020-2021. Hometown kid, and his favorite player growing up, get a load of this, was Darren Helm. How about that? Pretty cool to have a hometown kid here in the organization now. Number 114, this might be my favorite pick of the draft. Center Red Savage. Best name in the draft. Easily, and that's why I love the pick so much. Red Savage is a Red Wing, great name, and he has some two-way potential as well. So that was at 114. 134, center Liam Dower Nielsen, captain of Sweden's under-18 team, so there's some leadership qualities there. And fun fact with Nielsen, his best friend, Simon Edvinson, who the Wings took 6 overall. How awesome is that, that the best friends are in the organization together? I think that's pretty cool. Number 155, defenseman Oscar Plandowski, 6 foot, 190-pound defenseman. Not as big as the others, but there's still some size there. And then last but certainly not least, number 166, left wing Pasquale Zito. I did see a tweet over the weekend. I apologize for not remembering who exactly tweeted this. But someone said that Zito would have gone higher in the draft if the OHL played last season. How high? Not sure, but that is interesting to read about and think about as well. Overall, I really liked what the Red Wings did. Give it a few years and I believe this team is going to be absolutely unreal. We're starting to see the plan come together. The big defenseman, the plan at goalie, we're seeing the Yzer plan take shape. And though it's going to take some more time, I love the direction the Red Wings are going in right now under Steve Yzerman. But it's going to take some more time. Until then, as always, trust the Yzer plan, ladies and gentlemen. I don't expect either of you two to go in depth as I did, but I do want to ask you two about what I just said. Hearing me talk about how much I like the Red Wings draft, what's your thoughts on my thoughts? I want to start with Grant.
I mean, even before hearing your opinion, Tony, I liked what they were doing. I know we need some offense, and I think that was addressed maybe a little later in the draft, like you had mentioned. Like, we all kind of, a lot of people had some sort of winger or center, maybe left wing going at 6. But I don't know. I think hockey's one of those sports where you build up defensively and then kind of sprinkle in some offense. Like, if you're allowing one or two goals a game, as opposed to, I think the Wings were averaging like four or something last year, it's easier to win. So with that being said, I really like where the Eiser plan is headed. I like where the Wings are, like, they're building for something. They're not just going best available. They're taking the guys they want and the guys that Stevie and the rest of the organization can see thriving. Maybe not this year, but very soon. And it's comforting to see that we're out of those dog days of sitting in the top, hopefully top 10 draft picks. I think the Wings are, they're on the come up. And what you said just solidified my thoughts.
I still think they're probably going to be one of the worst teams in hockey next season, which I'm all for because he's a generational talent in next year's draft. I believe his name is Shane Wright, and I would like to add him. But though we might be bad next year once again, the Wings are trying to be more competitive. I don't think they want to be absolute garbage. You know, maybe the plan is to be bad, but get some luck in the draft lottery. Maybe? Because the Wings are trying to get more competitive. I mean, you could see that by the moves they made before the draft. They traded for Nick Leddy, defenseman. They re-signed Mark Stahl. And then, like we talked about, they traded for and signed Alex Nedeljkovic. They are trying to be a little bit more competitive, which we saw with the team last year. And I'm all for that. I'm not trying to get smoked 6-0 each night. They can have another season like they did last year during the pandemic where it's mostly losses, but they're fighting in just about every game, and here and there they are getting wins. I'm all for that. Although, they're probably still a year or two away, which is fine. I still love the direction this team is on. Eli, you'll have the last word on this. Big hockey guy. Any thoughts on what the Red Wings did in the draft?
Yeah, I'm a huge hockey guy. Huge Eiser stan. Trusting the Eiser plan, if you will. I think everything that man touches is gold, and so do you, so I trust you, I trust him. Let's go Red Wings. I can't wait to go to my first hockey game this year, and this year is going to be my first hockey game. I'm planning on it.
I'll take hopefully. You to that.
Oh yeah, for sure, we'll all go. We're all gonna go.
Yeah, hopefully tickets aren't too expensive. we might have to buy our own separate tickets.
I ain't paying for some garbage team, so they better be worth it.
Even though they might be garbage, there is going to be a player to watch next year, and that's Mo Sider. I'll pay any amount of money to go see Mo Sider in his rookie season. But yeah, like we talked about, to kind of wrap up this Red Wings talk, I liked what the Red Wings did, and though they might still be a year or two away, I love the direction this team is in. Go Wings, go Stevie, go Eiser plan. Now time to see what they do in free agency. I'm not expecting anything big. Probably just re-sign a couple restricted free agents, make some small moves like they already did with re-signing Mark Stahl and bringing in Nick Leddy. We'll see, though. We'll definitely see. Nonetheless, let's move into our final topic of the day. Let's switch from NHL draft to NBA draft. Boys, it is NBA draft week. Finally, 3 days away at the time of recording this. I'm so ready. We've been talking Cade and only Cade for about a month now, or however long it's been since the draft lottery. And now here we are. It's draft week. Eli, I want to start with you. 3 days out. How are we feeling right now? I mean, where's the head at right now, 3 days away from the draft?
I'm ready. Woo. I'm ready to get this pick. I'm really hyped up. The days, I feel like, are going to go by really slow this week.
Really, really slow.
Especially for me, because I'm actually going to the thing at LCA. And I just can't wait. I cannot wait to be in that building. But I brought this up to some other people. Could you imagine... I don't think this is going to happen. But could you
I know exactly reaction? Where you're going. Yeah.
Could you imagine the reaction in the that full LCA if we pick Jalen Green?
Is it going to be full?
It's very close to sold out.
Oh.
There was very few tickets left, according to Koo. Shout out to Koo.
Shout out to Koo.
Talking about it the other day on his pod. He said there was very few seats left.
It would be funny to see that reaction, but at the same time, yeah.
You just can't justify it.
LCA might... It might be goodnight streaks.
People would, I think, walk out and
people might throw riot. Stuff.
They would. There would be an angry mob heading to the Performance Center to overthrow Troy Weaver at the Performance Center.
That's if they take Jalen Green first overall, or they just flat out trade out of the pick.
Yeah,
which I don't think it's going to happen.
Reports from Woj are saying we are most likely going to take Cade.
Yeah. I'm actually glad that you brought that up, though, because I want to transition from that reaction to Rocket fans' reactions. There's been a lot of beef on Twitter over the past couple weeks between Rocket and Piston fans because they both want Cade. And Eli, I want to specifically ask you this. Is it just me, or do we need to start defending Jalen Green? Because Jalen Green's not a bad prospect at all. And I kind of feel like Rocket fans, and I'm not speaking for all Rocket fans here, but it just seems like there's a good majority on Twitter who they might just crap on Jalen Green because he's not Cade Cunningham. Can you talk good about Jalen Green for me, please? It would make me feel better because I don't think Rocket fans are going to appreciate Jalen Green as much as they should.
I've seen a lot of them kind of more so not really crapping on Jalen Green, but just being salty that they don't have the first pick. I think they'll be really happy with Jalen Green. He's a better scorer than Cade. He's more athletic than Cade. People say he's even got a higher upside because of that athleticism. I don't really agree with that just because I think Cade's IQ and everything else.
He's a better prospect all around.
Yeah, his feel for the game is just different and his size. Mm-hmm. But Jalen Green, you know, if Jalen Green was in the draft last year, he's going number one overall. I mean,
yeah,
probably even Mobley.
Going. I was just about overall. To say, I think even Mobley would be number one overall.
And I think even Suggs would have been top three last year as well.
Yeah, probably.
It's just because Cade is by far the best, not really even by far, but he is the unanimous
he's
best
the top guy. Yeah.
In this draft, that does not mean Jalen Green is not going to be a good player or Evan Mobley is not going to be a good player. I think Houston and Cleveland fans should be ecstatic, especially Cleveland fans.
I love Evan Mobley.
That's a very good fit for them, and that's exactly what they need. I think Mobley and Jared Allen could be really interesting for Cleveland.
That's kind of the last piece Cleveland needs is a center, because as of now, they have Sexland. That probably is going to change.
They have Sexland, Okoro, and Jarrett Allen right now.
Kevin Love's there, too.
Well, for now.
We've been saying that for how many years? For At some now. Point, I'm just starting to think to myself, is he ever going to get moved?
Yeah, he might just retire, honestly.
Honestly, we've been saying Kevin Love is going to be gone since LeBron left, and that was a while ago at this point.
Yeah, but Rockets fans need to chill out. They're slandering Detroit a lot just because, you know, obviously they're salty. They watched their team win, 16 games this year and not get the number one pick. I would be mad, too.
Yeah, we can feel the pain because of the Red Wings last year for sure.
Yeah, no, I understand where they're coming from, but you don't got to take your anger out on Detroit just because we got lucky. It's all luck at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And they're going to get a good player at the end of the day.
Very good player.
The best player on their roster from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And they got Christian Wood. They got Kevin Porter Jr. They're not all that bad.
Don't forget John Wall.
I am going to forget
about John Wall.
I am going to forget about John Wall. John Wall at this point to me is like Darren Williams on the Dallas Mavericks, you know, like... That just tail end of his career had a real good prime for a few years. And then, you know, just good night streaks after that.
Great. Okay. Let's move off the Rockets and Jalen Green talk and get back to the Pistons. Eli, I'm going to fire off some questions here. I want you to give me your honest gut feeling response to these questions. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. This one should be easy to start. Kate Cunningham will be a Piston. Your gut says...
For sure.
I like to hear that. Next question. The Pistons trade back up into the first round. Your gut says what?
My gut says they will 100% try, and we will get reports that the Pistons are trying to move up, and maybe someone won't bite. But I think someone... I think Troy is going to initially try to get into the teens, but I don't think anyone will really want what we have in the teens. I do think a team in the 20s might take something like some package around Mason Plumlee and some seconds.
Oh, please trade Mason Plumlee.
a team like maybe, I don't know, Boston or whoever needs like a center, maybe Brooklyn if they even have a pick.
I have no idea.
One of those, I don't know either, but one of those types of contending teams that needs a center, something around Mason Plumlee and all those seconds we have. But honestly, I really think we should hang on to that number 37 pick unless we can move into the teens, because I think there's good value at that pick.
Mm-hmm. There's always like 3 or 4 prospects that it's like, well, how do they fall out of the first round? And that's the case in every draft. So having a pick up there is definitely valuable. Next question, Eli. We kind of did this last week, but we're going to talk about it again. Pick one not top 10 prospects that you want to be a Piston on draft night. Not top 10 prospects.
Not top 10?
Not top 10. Mm. I purposely did that because I know you would have said book night. So yeah, give me a not top 10.
Book night's being projected top 10 these days. I've been hearing a lot about the upside of Zaire Williams.
The Stanford kid.
I think I haven't watched much of him, but I've seen his size, and I've seen he's like really raw, and a lot of people like him. So I think James Edwards III, he's talked a lot about that guy, so maybe he knows something we don't.
Okay.
So keep your eyes peeled.
Okay. Here's a juicy question. Jeremy Grant will be a Piston after the draft. Your gut says what?
Man, I've been seeing a lot of stuff where the Warriors give us just an absolute haul for Jeremy Grant.
That's why I asked you that question, because we talked about this either last week or the week before, whether or not to trade Jeremy. We all agreed not to, but over the last week, there's been a whole lot of trade Jeremy talk. So
I think the Warriors will not offer that big of a haul for Jeremy, and I think a haul like that is what it's going to take to get Jeremy on another team. And I also think Troy is going to have to ask Jeremy if he'd like to be traded, and if Jeremy said no, I'm pretty sure Troy wouldn't trade him. So I think Jeremy will probably be on this team next year, and I'm completely fine with that. Mm-hmm. If Jeremy says I'm fine with going to the Warriors, then I'm fine with getting like a haul of like number 7 James Wiseman.
I was just about to say James Wiseman. Was that you or was it Nicholas Hinkle? Someone put him in a Pistons Photoshop jersey, and you tweeted an Andre Drummond picture?
Yeah, it was young rookie Andre Drummond with the number 1. Yeah, that was because Wiseman is an interesting prospect.
I didn't want him last year because of the fact that he was such an old school center.
He's a very old school center, like as old school as it gets, honestly. And he doesn't set good screens. He's just kind of raw. His jumper is a work in progress. It is better than Andre's, I think. But he would be.
It's easy to have a better jump shot than Andre. Jump shot than Andre.
But I think Pistons fans would just rather stick it out with Jeremy than get Wiseman. But if you get number 7 and get like Book Night, man, oh, that would be just huge. I don't know. It's difficult. But I think when
your gut tells you yes, though, he will be a Piston.
My gut tells me yes. But I think when a trade idea makes you uncomfortable as a fan, I think that means it's a good trade. So I could see the Pistons and the Warriors agreeing to something around Jeremy Grant, because the Warriors do not need to pick at 7 and 14.
I think there's been reports that they want a veteran player in exchange for those picks, and Jeremy would make sense.
You saw what Draymond said. Draymond said, teams like us, we don't need to be picking high in the draft. Mm-hmm. We need players that can come and help right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see with that. But I do believe Jeremy will be on the team. We need a veteran. We can't just go out there with a team of all rookies. I mean, exactly. I would love that for, like,
yeah.
It would get old pretty quick, though, you know.
It would hurt us, I think, more than help us short term. Which, long term is the end goal, but short term, you need a veteran on this team, and Jeremy's perfect.
It would just be another tank here, you know.
Yeah.
If we traded Jeremy, I think that would just be conceding a little bit.
Yeah. Now, I'm not honestly trying to see that with Cade coming here, who's been on record to say he wants to make a run. But we'll see. Last question for you, Eli, and this is a fun one. Pick a Pistons outside of Jeremy Grant who you think could be traded on draft night.
This is upsetting.
Oh.
It's really upsetting.
Uh-oh.
I think Sekou Doumbouya has the best chance to not be on this team going into next year out of any of our, I guess, assets, if you want to say. I just think he's the last non-Troy Weaver guy.
He is. He's the last one standing.
He's the last man standing, and he didn't show much until the last, 20 games of last year?
Yeah.
Which I'm glad he did that, because those few games kind of gave me hope that he might be on the team next year. But I could easily see them moving off him to try to get another pick or something, or sweetening a trade. Be like, hey, we got this 20-year-old kid, you know, similar size to Pascal Siakam.
I didn't draft him.
Similar game.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. He's shown flashes. You guys want him? And I could see another team pulling the trigger, which is sad because we all love Sekou.
Well. Define we. There's a lot of people who don't.
Well, those are idiots that they got shiny new toys and they just forget about everyone else who came before. So we don't need to acknowledge those. I'm writing an article about that soon, too, about how fans, once they get new draft picks in. I can't wait till we get Cade and whoever else we get in this draft and everyone instantly forgets about Sadiq and Isaiah and I'm going to there. I'm going to be sitting there with an I told you so to everybody. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to be fantastic.
Thank you for answering the questions. Grant, you will end us off today. The same thing I asked Eli before the runoff quick answer questions. Simply put, how are we feeling? Where's your head at right now, 3 days before the draft? Is the gut telling you Cade will be the pick despite the smoke online? I mean, how are we feeling right now, Grant?
The gut is not as sure as it was last week. Like, seeing Cade at the Tiger game and all the fan response was absolutely insane. And I think it's the first time I've ever seen something like that where just other sports teams are letting our basketball team know, hey, we want Cade. But the only thing that really turned me off a little bit was the Rockets kind of just giving up on trying to trade. I mean, that's the reports I've seen so far of, seems like the Rockets are cool to hold at two. Mm-hmm. That was the only thing that scared me a little bit. Just thinking of maybe something came out where it was Cade will be there, but I'm still 99% sure the Pistons are taking Cade. It's all I know I'm the first guy to say don't follow the smoke, but this is the first time where something that was said about the Pistons' number one pick or in relation to it got my stomach churning a little bit. But like I said, 99% chance or 99% gut feeling that we take Cade.
What's your gut feeling about what Eli mentioned about possibly trading both Jeremy Grant and maybe even Sekou?
Sekou wouldn't surprise me.
Mm.
Jeremy Grant, on the other hand, coming into Detroit, saying, hey, I want to be that guy for a team, for Detroit even, I think it would be a very quick turnaround to be hey, I had fun. Now I want to go be a number three somewhere. Like, if he can still be one of our guys, I can't imagine him wanting to leave. And like I said, I can't imagine Troy Weaver saying, hey, I know you like it here, but we got the juiciest offer from Golden State or whoever. So thank you for your time and have fun playing second or third fiddle somewhere. I think he's a Piston.
I would love to see him stay here, as we talked about, whether it was last week or the week before. I don't think Troy Weaver signed Jeremy to that contract just to immediately trade him 1 year later. But if you get a nice offer, like hypothetically 7-14 James Wiseman for Jeremy, it's hard to not consider that if you're Troy Weaver. I can't even lie, but nonetheless, we'll see. I think that's a good way to wrap up today's program. It was a good show. Talk some NHL draft, talk some NBA draft. And we're only 3 days away from the NBA draft and from Cade Cunningham being a Piston. I can't wait. Next week's show is going to be fun. And like I said earlier in the program, next week we'll do NBA draft recap. Hopefully Mike and Jay will both be here to talk about it with us. We'll do NBA free agency preview. We'll do MLB trade deadline talk if the Tigers do anything. Then the week after that, football's back. And sooner rather than later, we got to do a Blazing Wings episode 2. With that, thank you all for listening. Fui Bashi, Grant Richards, Mike Bilica sleeping, Jay Horn in Miami, and also Talisawa at the liquor store. My name's Tony Nabrowski. Thank you for listening. We'll catch you all soon.